Thank you. All right, members, thank you very much for joining this evening. And just as we normally do under chairperson's remarks, as we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regard to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure that their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting, may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during this meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any items of the business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on the item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. I would remind members to keep their instant messaging to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type P if you wish to propose, and type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. In the event the two councillors propose at the same time, the person who proposed first will be taken as a proposer, and the person who proposed second will be recorded as the seconder. Okay, folks, so we're just going to move to the agenda itself. And is there any apologies to be recorded?
None received from any members. They're all here, I think.
Okay. All right. And just under chairperson's remarks, and I'm sure members will want to express our sympathies to Brian Black's family, who sadly passed away following an accident in Strangford Village. Brian's funeral took place earlier in this week, so just want to share our thoughts with Simon and Sarah and the Black family during this time. And secondly, to congratulate Conall Fitzsimons on finishing third in the Flowgas Champion of Champions Junior Invitational recently down at Parish Court. Finishing third across champions is a brilliant success for him as well. Okay, folks, moving on then to item number two, declarations of interest, either members or officers. None? Okay. Moving on then to item number three, and I'm going to take both action sheets as one item, and I'll go through it page by page. So action sheets arising from the 11th of June 2020, so page one, page two, page three, page four, and page five. And then I'll take action sheets from the 25th of June, and starting with page 1, page 2, and page 3. Is there a proposer and seconder for the action sheets? So propose Councillor Murray and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Is there any matters arising, members? Nope. Okay. Moving on to item number four, which is a notice of motion referred from the council meeting held on the 6th of July 2020. And we have Councillor Malone to speak on this item first.
Yes, Chair, can you hear me okay?
Yes, can hear you, Gavin.
Chairperson, it is a great pleasure to table this motion tonight, and all I ask is it is given honest and full consideration. due to the current situation in the world with the pandemic coronavirus and the uncertainty this virus has brought to nearly every country and region of the world, every government, society, including local government, are entering a long period of the unknown, and the majority of organisations are revisiting their long-term strategies, whether financial, capital projects, future expansion, etc. In this notice of motion, I am requesting the Council revisit its proposed civic centre project due to our uncertain future and agree to evaluate the economic rationale for this development. If we also include the nightmare which I call Brexit and the current unanswered questions about the possible negative financial impact this process will have on our region, again we have another very valid reason why we need to revisit the largest capital spend of our council in its short history and the possible negative financial impact it could have on our ratepayers for a long period of time. We as elected members have a responsibility to ensure we constantly review and evaluate our finances and utilise them in a common sense way to minimise the risks to our ratepayers. I firmly believe if we proceed with the civic centre, we will have failed to protect our ratepayers. We have employed consultants to advise our council on this project, but have we followed the recommendations on the future of the proposed civic centre? In August 2016, the LAT tabled a request on this project and recommended detailed consultation on the detail on the development, and our CEO confirmed at a full council meeting in September 2019 that detailed consultation would be conducted with all stakeholders. Has the consultation been completed, and if why not? How can a possible capital project of this magnitude be progressed without meaningful and significant consultation? A perfect example of this is the consultation proposal being carried out for the council project in the Albert Basin. Is this project being treated differently to the civic centre project? Surely we as a council, we need consistency on all the council capital projects. Another reason I would like the civic centre delayed is because of numerous conversations I've had with business owners in the city centre. All these people are worried about the removal of prime parking and the lack of information on how these parking spaces will be replaced. Again, this is a classic lack of consultation and joined up thinking about the implementation of this project. Senior management have recently been promoting regeneration proposals for New York City Centre, claiming it would generate economic revitalisation. The question has to ask, what business plan economic appraisal have been completed to prove to councillors that the development of a civic centre would create significant economic activity? Thank you very much, Chair, and I'm led to believe that Councillor Savage has proposed an amendment, which I'm happy to listen to.
Okay, so just before I bring Councillor Savage in, as he is listed next, I'm taking it, Councillor Malone, that as detailed in the agenda, your motion, that's what you're proposing tonight?
Yes.
Okay, so you're proposing as detailed, okay. Okay, Councillor Savage, you do have an amendment, but I need to ask if there is a seconder to Councillor Malone's proposal. Okay. I'm taking Councillor Brown as the first one on my screen. Is that right, sir?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So if I take in Councillor Savage then?
Yeah, can you hear me, sir?
I can, Michael. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, the amendment I'm proposing is based on Gavin's initial motion, is that after the word fundamentally, we insert the following wording so that the amendment reads as follows, or the amended motion reads as follows. The Council recognises that society has changed fundamentally since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic and acknowledges the economic challenges our citizens, businesses and ratepayers face in the coming months and years, and recognises the need for Council to re-evaluate our capital expenditure priorities. This Council agrees to await the consultant's report on the proposed Newry Civic Centre, which is to be presented to Council in September 2020, agrees not to go to tender or submit a planning application on this scheme until this report is re-evaluated by Council and the recommendations of that re-evaluation are put to an extensive public consultation. Chair, I fully understand the rationale from Councillor Malone in bringing this motion forward to Council, on the basis that he, like I, is a Newry councillor, and I have been hearing the same concerns voiced to me in relation to a scheme of this scale in the times we are in a COVID-19 world. I think a lot of people, a lot of organisations, including ourselves, need to reevaluate how we as an organisation and others operate through this very difficult pandemic. The rationale that I've been proposing tonight is that, Councillor Malone, when making that proposal, we don't have anything tangible in front of us to evaluate or, for that matter, to postpone, in that we are awaiting the outworkings of a consultant's report, which is due to come to us in September 2020. The Council has an obligation legally, I believe, and financially, contractually, in relation to that, and we have paid several hundred thousand pounds, I believe, to get that consultant's report. And I don't think any of our ratepayers would consider us to be anything other than not being prudent if we didn't see that through. The SDLP has always been very much to the forefront of protecting our ratepayers where possible and getting value for money. And I believe we need to see that process through in order to have a tangible project in front of us that we can assess, run a critique on, and evaluate and re-evaluate if we believe that to be the case. In relation to that re-evaluation, I believe that we can take all things into consideration at that stage based on having something in front of us to compare with. I think we also need to be looking at potentially the Council looking at current assets to meet our needs in relation to Council offices and a civic building, and fulfilling our needs to our citizens. I am also acutely aware that there is a need potentially for us to get out of Monaghan Row as quick as possible for the future expansion potentially of Daisy Hill Hospital. That's something that the SDLP supports, and it's something that we want to see happen sooner rather than later. That said, this is a very, very serious decision we are making in Council, and we need to talk it through. The SDLP's priorities are very much centred around a new park in Newry. We've been at the forefront of promoting the park in Newry since it was first mooted in the city, and we want to see a park in the city because we believe the city needs to have a pair of lungs, and the park will serve that need. But we are also aware that for the need to attract inward investment and expand our city, we support as well the conference centre facility and the fact that it's coming in the back of the city deal. On the basis that this is a big capital project within our council, I believe we need to look long and hard at it. But I believe we need to look at long and hard at tangible proposals, and we don't have those at the moment. And that's why, Chair, I'm proposing that we wait until such times as the consultant's report on the Civic Centre is presented to us as councillors. We go through that, take it to the project board, take it through the normal strands that are there to assess it. Decisions can be made then based on having something to look at and assess based on size, based on scale, based on expenditure, and most importantly, based on need. And I think that there is merits and re-evaluating, because we are not 100% sure what that need is going forward, because COVID-19 has spread one thing other than a virus, it has spread uncertainty. And I believe we need to reassess our needs going forward before we invest in millions of pounds in a new building. That said, the SDLP has always been to the forefront in bringing investment to our city and district, but I think on this occasion we need to ensure that we I've not only reassessed and reevaluated and made sure we're making the right decision, but the added point that I've made within that amendment tonight is that any decision we make and any proposals or recommendations we're making on the back of this are fully consulted widely and extensively with the public. And, Chair, that's why I've been proposing this amendment tonight. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Councillor Savage. Can I just check if there's a seconder to that amendment, Councillor Savage?
Right. Sorry, I've unmuted. Councillor Brown, I believe, has seconded it.
Can I just clarify that Councillor Brown can second the amendment, given that he is already a seconder to the original motion?
Yes.
Is that correct, sir?
It's
Chair, there would be no reason why he wouldn't second it. Mm-hmm. It would just be that it goes back then to whether Councillor Malone, as a proposer, is prepared to accept the amendment.
Okay.
I see too as well, just that members are looking as...
I was going to take that. Just wanted to clarify this first of all, because obviously we need to get the amendment proposed and seconded. So, proposed by Councillor Shavley, seconded by Councillor Brown. Councillor Malone, do you accept the amendment?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Members, just before we I see that members are asking for a 10-minute recess. I think it would be prudent to obviously take the officer's report into consideration before we go into that break and consider the amendment as well. So if I can hand over to Connor Mallon to take the item off the officer's report so that members have all the information available to them. So if I can pass to Connor for that.
Thanks, Chair. The purpose of the paper that's been appended to the notice of motion tonight is to provide an update to committee members on the current progress made on the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project, to report on the strategic objectives and benefits, present the key milestones achieved to date, outline the decision-making process and inform members on the potential consequences of decisions made on the notice of motion before you tonight. The background, as outlined in the report, links the project back to the Council Corporate Plan of 2015-2019. The key strategic objectives and benefits for the project are listed in Section 2.1 of the report and reports on a selection of key milestones already achieved in the project, including the Southern Trust commitment to progress outline business case for the acquisition of Monaghan Row, and the correspondence from the Trust is actually included as part of the report in the Appendix 2, and Belfast Region City deal funding approval for public realm works and Grade A office provision in Newry City. COVID-19 has impacted on the Council, the same as any other local authority. In response, we have commissioned a study to look at the future of real estate across the district, and we are currently considering the findings of that report in the context of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project and all other capital projects within the Council. SMT are also considering the impacts of COVID-19, and we're looking at the effectiveness of the agile working, impacts on mental health, culture and connection to the organisation, and the importance of connection to the local area. The outcome of this assessment will also feed into the projects within Council. Decision making on the projects up to the award of contract is outlined in the report and will follow the governance process adopted for these projects. Members will have the opportunity to be fully engaged and involved in all key decision making, whether that be on agile working proposals, whether it be on a green energy proposals, building design, etc., at various stages of the project through the project board, SPNR and full Council. The current proposed timeline is provided in the report. This is an indicative time frame, but it shows key dates up to the award of the contracts in summer 2021. There's a blend of funding for the project, most notably from Council and Belfast Region City Deal. And as outlined in the report, the projects are interdependent within the strategic outline case that was approved by Belfast Region City Deal. Therefore, any changes to the strategic outline case would require a review of the OBC that's been currently prepared. This could and would likely incur additional costs for the development of a new outline business case, potentially incur termination costs for our current design team, and would result in our failure to meet the OBC submission date of November 2020. So as set out in Section 3.1 of the report, the Office's recommendation, just trying to scroll down to it here, and I'll just read that out, and it can be considered within the context of the amendment that has been proposed. Now, the committee notes the current reviews ongoing in relation to the impact of COVID-19 and working on the real estate market and the business case review of the Newry City Centre Regeneration Project, and that the committee approves the continuation of work on the Newry City Regeneration Programme to enable the projects to reach tender readiness and planning approval. As noted above, any decision to proceed to issue a tender for capital bill will come back to the SPNR committee for decision. So,
okay. Thank you very much, Connor.
Thank you.
members, there is members asking for questions that they've put a queue. I do note that members have asked for a 10-minute recess to allow members to digest what the amendment is. Now, I can take the questions from members if that is the approach that you wish to take, or we can recess for 10 minutes, allow people to digest the information of the amendment and the officer's report, and then I will bring members back in the order that is presented here now. There's no particular way that we have to do this, Marie, is
Chair,
there?
Yeah, Chair, just there is an amendment to the motion on the table. It would be appropriate for members to vote on the amendment and then take questions. So I would suggest that unless somebody has specific questions on the amendment, that you take your recess, let them come back, and then do all the questions, take your vote and do the questions, if members are content enough with that arrangement.
If we can ensure that the wording of the amendment can be circulated to members.
It has been sent already to all members.
Okay. So unless there's any members that have any questions in relation to the amendment, we need a proposer and seconder just to recess for 10 minutes. And I see Councillor Byrne has proposed and seconded by Councillor Hanlon that we go into a 10-minute break. So we'll break.
Chair, Councillor Brown has indicated that he's against a 10-minute break, so you may want to just take a vote for the adjournment as opposed to the amendment. The adjournment.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
So, yeah, no, it's all right. Do we just ask members to vote in the instant
message? Just in the instant message. And we would ask only members of the committee to vote.
Yeah. So if members...
It's literally for the adjournment, nothing else.
Yeah. So if members that of SPNR, if you can vote for a 10-minute adjournment in the instant messaging, please.
Please only vote once. So are you picking... Is that everybody there?
I think it is now. Is Councillor Howell voted?
Sorry, Gavin, you can't vote unless you're a member of the committee.
Oh, sorry, I had Councillor Howell down as a member.
Sorry, she is. I'm sorry. Councillor Malone has voted there.
Oh, sorry, she has voted. Sorry, yes, go ahead, sir.
It's 12 for the adjournment and 3 against.
Okay, members, so we will break for 10 minutes, given that that has passed, and we'll reconvene at 6:37.
Chair, can I just confirm, Sarah, is the best way to do this for everybody to keep their connection live but their microphones and cameras muted and turned off?
Yes, that's it, yeah, because otherwise they'll lose the
connection back into the meeting. So if you could do that, just members, keep your connection live, but might mute your microphones and your cameras turned off. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Hopefully most people are back.
Yep.
Yeah, back again.
Okay. Just check that officers are back as well. Sarah, Drina, these are all good to go.
Yep, Chair, good to go.
Okay.
I think Marie isn't back yet, but Drina's on there, so.
Oh, we're good then. Okay, just confirm again that majority of SPNR committee members are back on the meeting. Okay.
Yeah, they're all back. Yeah.
Okay. All right, folks. So I'm going to go back to the start of the questions. I would remind members that given that the proposer to the original motion has accepted the amendment, that we cannot discuss the original motion. We will only be discussing the amendment in question at this time. So, Councillor O'Murray.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, there was a bit of confusion in our group as well, as the, you said at the start of the meeting that nobody's getting in unless they put P, S or Q, but you took amendment, and amendment even went up before the item was put in, which would, obviously it's premeditated and all that there, but this is the second meeting of SPNR you've done that in a row where there's a lot of questions to be asked of the motion, and then all the questions are just done away with because you've decided that there's going to be an amendment to it. But anyway, our group has had a good chance to discuss it. We're not happy to accept the amendment. We think it's a wee bit wavery in that, especially maybe some of the commentary that Councillor Savage put in it. It sounded a wee bit like we're for it, but we're against it. We're for it, but we're against it. We have no problem letting it go to the plan and letting it go through the systems that it's supposed to go through. Let it go to planning. The public consultation will take place during the planning, during the run through planning. It's estimated there's already £500,000 spent on this. There's the Belfast City deal money that's committed to this. It's not something that was dreamed up overnight. I know Councillor Malone wasn't a councillor whenever it was discussed at length in 2015, whenever the two councils merged together and Downpatrick had their beautiful new civic centre that they had prepared for in the years previous to the RPA, where Newry was left with Monaghan Row, which wasn't fit for purpose. It was because of that exactly that all the parties at the time came together and put out suggestions and made plans and included as a main priority in the corporate plan for 2015-19 a new civic centre in Newry, and it was greeted with great excitement by all parties at the time. It was seen that it was going to be a massive investment in Newry city centre, but it was going to be to the benefit of the people of South Armagh, the people of South Down, the people of Newry, and every it was going to create employment. It was going to make a hub out of Newry. The theatre was going to get a massive boost, and everyone was going to. So, look, I can see all sides of the argument on that there, but look, we're going to make an alternative amendment if that's accepted by the chair, that we just go we go ahead with the scheme. We let it go to planning. We don't put the brakes on it. The public consultation is going to come back in September, and it's going to inform us far more than either of the contributions so far in this amended motion. So our party grouping would certainly be making an amendment to push on with the project as planned. The report comes back to us. That's not an amendment. It's addressed. So here we go. There's commentary now coming through the conversation as well. But that the report's obviously going to come back to us in September, and we go ahead with that. Cormier.
So, Councillor Murray, can I just clarify? So I can't take alternative amendment given that the amendment has already been proposed, so we would need to vote on the first amendment. But is your proposal that we accept the officer's recommendations within the report? So that would be the opposite. So that would be a separate proposal that we would then take after the amended first proposal would be voted on.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And is there, well, I'll take a seconder at the point after we've voted for the original motion that's been amended by Councillor Savage, seconded by Councillor Brown. So I'll take other members in first and then we can go back to that. Councillor Walker, you're listed next.
Chair, thank you very much, and I will be supporting the amendment. I was supporting the original motion, and I do support the amendment by Councillor Savage, because a lot of money has gone into this in relation to consultants and that. We have been told the consultants' report will be coming forward in September and that. And I think once we get the report, that's maybe when we should be taking the decision. Now, there's other things we need to know here. Now, is for example, it was mentioned there's a cocktail of funding, the Belfast City deal, council's putting money in. I think we need to know the breakdown of funding, how much council's putting in, how much Belfast City deal is putting in, and if there's any other cocktails of funding, so as we're aware as to what exactly council's putting in, because I am concerned in relation to this. When this originally came to council a number of years ago, our party was opposed to a new civic centre in Uri at the time, because we said we had the State of the North one in Downpatrick. And the reason we have one in Downpatrick is the old Down Council had the foresight and the forward thinking to build a new civic centre before the amalgamation. That's the bare facts. That's why we have it. Now, people are saying to me, even people in the county town of Downpatrick are saying, everything seems to be going to Newry. You have the big leisure facility. Yes, we got a leisure facility in Downpatrick, but they're getting the Albert Basin, the town park. They're getting this. They're getting that. What are we getting in the county town? We're getting nothing. May I not saying that this civic centre shouldn't proceed? I will be voting on the motion, and when it comes forward again to the appropriate committee, that I believe that this project should be stalled in this economic climate. You know, what's our rates going to be whenever we're going to strike the rate next year? And that, it's going to go sky high and through the roof. So it is. And then you're going to have people outside Newry, and by the looks of it, even people within the city of Newry are squealing from the rooftops in relation to this civic centre. I'm not saying that we don't build a civic centre. What I will be voting on when it comes to voting will be that we stall it, we delay it in these economic times. So I will be supporting the amendment, and I will be supporting again when it comes through. If a vote comes on it, I will be voting to suspend the taking forward of this civic centre in Newry because of the economic hardship and that the people are facing out there. So they are.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Walker. Councillor Enright, you are listed next, and I take some comments further that you want to speak on the original motion, but as detailed, only speak to the amendment, please.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
We can, yeah.
Thank you. Well, like Billy Walker, I would have supported the original motion, and I'm reluctantly supporting the amendment, as I think we're in danger of failing in our fiduciary duties as councillors over the cost of this project. I really think we shouldn't be submitting any planning before listening to what the consultant has said, and also we need more information about the affordability of this project within the consultant's report or supporting the consultant's report. In speaking to this amendment, I'd like to wear my chartered accountant's hat for a moment and note three important points. Firstly, council staff have demonstrated that many of them can work from home with no diminution of productivity over the last couple of months. It's very difficult for me to see why we need so much extra office space. Indeed, there's lots of top-flight public sector offices available in the area at a much lower cost. For instance, Rathkelter House in Downpatrick is largely vacant, and indeed there are sections of the Downshire site which would suit an expansion. Secondly, we've just had the biggest hit to our rate base in the history of the council or its predecessors, which will have a lasting effect on our ability to pay for projects going forward. First of all, the retail sector has been devastated. It's either dead or dying. And secondly, many small businesses are very, very hard hit, and small businesses make up 95% of the economic base of Newry, Mourne and Down. we do not have the growing rate base going forward that we expected we might have done to pay for this sort of project. Thirdly, we can't afford such a project without a big hike in the rates, which is just simply not possible over the next year or two. If truth be told, we need to move to a lower rate structure and even take the high street retail sector totally out of the rate space if we want a functioning high street in county towns and all the rural villages going forward. If we're going to await the consultant's report in September, I want a detailed report on how this project could be paid for while keeping the rates base below zero or at zero for the next 2 to 3 years. I'd be against Barra's suggested amendment on the simple accounting base that just because you've sunk £500,000 into a project doesn't mean to say that you have to keep throwing bad money, good money after bad. We have to look at the affordability and remember that we are fiduciary, we have fiduciary responsibilities as councillors to only vote for projects we think that the council can afford. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Enright. Councillor Brown, you're next.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'll note at the outset.
Chair, just a point of order. Willie Clark here.
Can you just clarify what standing order it's in reference to?
No, it's up to the officers to give you the standing order. The point of information I made on the screen there is we have not agreed to the amendment, so we should not be speaking on it. So you need to take the vote first and then speak on it.
I'll seek clarity from our officers on that.
Chair, the questions are drifting between the two. You could take a vote on the amendment to see if it is accepted or not, and then you could move to take the next, if there is another amendment to the original motion. I suppose the questions, because they're floating between two, is the problem, but it may be worth taking the vote on the amendment.
Okay. All right, Councillor Brown, I'm going to park you for one moment then, following that guidance.
I can't agree with that. Surely we should be able to comment on something before we vote on it and make sure that all members are heard before it goes to a vote.
You're wrong.
Right, so we don't get to express...
Under Standing Order 19.15, it does say that only one amendment may be moved and discussed at any one time. So if you discuss the amended motion, no further amendment may be moved until the amendment under the discussion has been disposed of. So you can discuss the amendment, but not the original motion.
Which I had stated to members, so if we can keep
the amendment
then.
Yes, of course.
Chair, if I could just come in, Councillor Brown. Yeah, Councillor Clark, it does refer to the ability to discuss the amendment, and then you do have to vote on that amendment. And if that's not carried, then you can take other amendments. That's at 19.15 in your standing orders.
Okay. So, again, if members have indicated to speak, it is only to the amendment and not to the motion. And at the point where members have ended any questions or comments on the amendment, then we will take a vote. So,
Chair, I have to say I disagree with that, Chair. The amendment has been proposed and seconded, so it has to be voted upon. The committee has not agreed the amendment.
No, Chair, they haven't agreed the amendment, but the only one amendment may be moved and discussed at any one time. So this amendment is being moved and discussed at this point and then will be voted on. I'm reading directly from the standing orders.
Okay. So I will continue to take members as long as they speak just on the amendment as being moved. If members deviate away from that, then I will ask the member to stop. Unless they have any items in relation to the amendment then. So I will continue giving the advice from the Chief Executive as standing orders that we are allowed to discuss on the amendment only. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. And I was going to say at the outset that it is incredibly concerning that we are somewhat being dictated to in the sort of things that we can speak to with regard to this amendment. In my opinion, the preceding speakers, Councillor Walker and Councillor Enright, have been speaking about the Newry Civic Centre project and then the wider regeneration project, which of course is completely relevant to the amendment. So I don't really see why we have the need for clarification, because all of the issues raised have been directed and relevant to the discussion at hand. And in my 6 and a bit years as a councillor, I have never seen this sort of direction advising councillors to speak in a particular way about an amendment or a motion. But I digress.
Yes, Councillor Brown, as you will know, members are entitled to a point of order, and they are entitled then also respond to clearly give guidance. So, yes.
Go ahead. Is it, but I will continue to my comments. Now, I fully supported this motion as it arrived and seconded it, but I'm also seconding the amendment, and I'm pleased to see it coming forward and thank Councillor Savage for doing so. But I do think the Council have been slow learners on this, particularly with regard to the amendments and the need for a public consultation. I mean, we had this discussion back at the Council meeting in September. And indeed, Councillor Walker was one of those who called for a public consultation and to engage with stakeholders at that time. Councillor Savage as well. I went back and looked at the minutes and talked about the need to bring, you know, businesses and the community along and make sure they're engaged every step of the way. But I want to ask, how has that plan been advanced since that discussion almost a year ago? You know, we were told that a lot of meetings would take place with stakeholders. And yet, I mean, I've seen no detail on that so far from the management team. Yet clearly the project has been advanced to a significant stage. We've seen the bills and costs that have been racked up, and yet we haven't seen any details of those consultations that we agreed to or were told would move forward in September last year. And indeed, a proposal by myself and Councillor Tinnelly to hold off on progressing on choosing a site for this was actually voted against by the vast majority of councillors at that time. But I do think and hope through this motion that the council realises the importance of consulting the public on how we are going to potentially spend as much as £30 million of their money. And that's an amount that would represent almost half of the entire capital budget for the rest of this term. That's money that I believe would be better spent on parks and green spaces and investing directly in those who need it most to recover from the impact of COVID. And I also have some comments on the officer's report as well, insofar as it relates to the amendments. And I'd like to ask, did the officer consult with the proposer of the motion before bringing this report alongside the motion? And I'd like him or any of the senior management team to outline the precedent for officers bringing reports without consulting with proposers of motions, if indeed he did not consult with Councillor Malone. I'd also like officers to clarify the decision-making process for which motions should have reports carried out before a debate and which should not. How are officers making these decisions? And surely that should be applied consistently. I ask because I'm not sure that it's ever happened that an officer has brought an options paper to a member's motion which recommends only one option, which is at item 3.1 on the agenda, which is in fact advising councillors to vote against the councillor's original motion. And I find that really, really concerning. Does senior management not feel that taking a stance on a motion presented by a democratically elected member is contrary to good governance and transparency, especially given comments by several of the senior management team at recent efficiency working group meetings that, and I quote, the decision is up to elected members, not officers. Therefore, if we vote to proceed or not to proceed, so be it. And that is what my officer said at a recent meeting. It is up to us as a council, as the executive body, to make this decision. But not only that, they're also attaching lobbying letters from civic society to try and persuade councillors into taking a particular stance on this issue. Is there no fear from councillors or management that this sets an incredibly worrying precedent and represents a huge democratic deficit not only has, and I'm closing up now, not only has the motion been put on the long finger for 2 months, because it was originally proposed at the June meeting, I believe, or start of July, it has been sent to a committee where the proposer can't even vote on it, all whilst work on the project in question has continued, despite me pointing out at the July meeting that it would be wrong to do so. But now senior management is actually directing councillors to vote in a particular way to continue.
Sorry, Councillor Brown, I need to interrupt. Sorry, Councillor Brown, just a bit of order. Some of your comments are becoming an attack on our council officers.
That I'm very concerned about the democratic process and how decisions are being proposed to councillors here, and I think that's perfectly valid and actually an important part of my role to raise them. But I finish up, and I will open it up to officers to come back on it.
Well, I would just ask for your order to ensure that you are not directly attacking officers. You do have a duty, obviously, as well, under the code of conduct, but I will let you finish your remarks.
No, I finish up. Everything that I've said is perfectly valid, and I stand over it. I'm not singling out anyone or using any sort of personal attacks or trying to belittle anyone. I'm asking about the process and the democratic process that we've used to get to this part of the discussion, and I've stated my very valid concerns on it.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to Councillor Murphy next as SPNR committee member. I do see Councillor Clark and Councillor Taylor have asked for questions. As these are non-members, I will take these in after Councillor Murphy, and then I will ask officers after that to answer any of the questions that have been presented. Councillor Murphy.
Thanks, Gareth. Yeah, I just want to state clearly that I would be opposed to the amendments. I find it very confusing. It sounded, the explanation for the amendment was like somebody that's trying to hedge his bets. And therefore, I am totally opposed to it. I'm actually surprised, and Billy Walker has said it, you know, that there's going to be economic hardships. You know, however, you know, throughout the world, people are finding a different way to address those hardships. It's austerity didn't work. Cutting back on projects was part of austerity in the past, under George Osborne and his counterparts in the South of Ireland, Conservatives. It simply did not work. They're now accepting that it didn't work. If you take a look at what they're doing in other European states, and the European Central Bank is now giving out, I think it's almost 400 billion in grants, and almost just over 300 billion in loans to stimulate economies. That means that people, rather than cutting back on public services, rather than flipping, putting people out of jobs, they are going to start more work on infrastructure, creating jobs, and trying to stimulate the economy out of this recession that we're in now. Not cut it. We Sinn Féin had stated as far back as 2008, 2010, that austerity does not work. You know, so cutting back on capital projects, that's going to have an impact on what could have been a boost to the local economy in Uri. And I can't understand. You know, people talk about that there are some business people in Uri aren't too happy with this. Well, what percentage? You know, who's done the survey? You know, I haven't seen any results. I haven't seen any findings. You know, I'm speaking to business people in Uri and speaking to people on the ground. All they want, and what is happening at the minute, is money being pumped into both, you know, the assembly, and money then coming down into local government. You know, that's the way that we should be addressing the recession that we're facing at the minute. You know, the road to economic recovery isn't by cutting projects. And the other thing that concerns me is, because it's been mentioned by a few councillor colleagues, that, you know, this project, that project, it's almost like fighting over the scraps of the table. You know, this is something that has already been agreed by many councillors that is needed for the district. You know, if you take a look at, you know, Belfast City Council, you know, how they have got their act together in drawing down funding, their council is a powerhouse. You take a look at Louth County Council with the Economic Forum and how they have attracted in investments, FDI, you know, all kinds of investment into regenerate. And that's the road and that's the path that they are taking at the minute. You know, and then you come to us and people are proposing austere measures. You know, so I'm totally opposed to anybody cutting back on capital projects. What we should be doing is trying to seek more funding, you know, going to make ourselves a more attractive landing pad for investors and for funders. And not, you know, I think, now I could be wrong on this, but to the best of my knowledge, $8 million has come from the city deal for this particular project. So how does it look to potential investors when they see the council firing back $8 million and cutting projects, cutting jobs? You know, explain that to the people of Newry that are dependent, particularly the building industry. Sinead.
Thank you very much, Councillor Murphy. Councillor Clark, you have asked to, or request to ask a question. As non-committee member, I will take you in, and then I'll take Councillor Taylor in next, and then I'll allow officers to come back on any questions that have been asked. So, Councillor Clark.
Thanks, Gareth, for your indulgence. Speaking as group leader of Sinn Féin are opposed to the amendment, and we're also opposed to the motion. And as Declan's already outlined, we're opposed to austerity. I think what the public maybe needs to understand is the resources that have been spent cannot be wasted. We've invested near £500,000 of ratepayers' money in this process. Sinn Féin are happy to continue with the process towards the plan of permission. And that's what Barra was trying to say in regards to our amendment that may follow. You have to take, I agree, we take into account the due diligence, transparency and accountability during the whole process. But the planning permission will give us that. There will be a full consultation in regards to the planning application. The public will have their opportunity, and all elected reps and all stakeholders will have their opportunity to have their say in regards to it. To slow it up is a dangerous message to send out there, and Councillor Murphy touched on it. Investors will see a knee-jerk reaction coming from council, which will scare them, and they will move elsewhere. Investors want to see income return for their investment. So if they can get somewhere else that's willing to do it, and the city deal, there's a number of projects in the city deal, that they'll just go to them. You know, so the council needs to be very wary of what they're doing here. Major infrastructure investment is essential to regenerating our economy. The construction industry will need a major boost, but also then the small retailers in Newry who will get the boost from building supplies and whatever, and architects and designers and all that. That will be a major boost, and then cafes and restaurants and whatever will boost from that as well. So members need to be very, very wary of what they're doing here at the minute. I understand every councillor needs to see investment in their DA and their towns and whatever. I have my own priorities. Newcastle Leisure Centre is a priority. The regeneration of the harbour area is a priority for me. Patrick Brown talks about investment in green spaces. Yes, I agree with that also. I brought a motion to council in regards to the Islands Park being managed as a climate change mitigation park. I don't see any resources put towards that. You know, so there is issues. We have all issues. And we've all priorities moving forward, and you know, the majority of the resources is being spent in Newry at the minute, or been seen to be spent in Newry. We haven't spent any money at the minute, so there has to, and we've talked about this in group leaders, there has to be a balance across the district in regards to expenditure and resources. I think we have to show ambition. Is Newry a city or is it not a city? You know, we have to show that ambition to grow the city. The lasting impact of the investment would be massive, and others talked about in regards to you know, apprenticeships and moving forward, apprenticeships and social clauses for the long term unemployed, and apprenticeships would be built into the contracts, so local people would be getting the jobs. I think that's an important message to bring forward as well. I think the old quote is the rising tide lifts all ships. So if we grow the base in Newry, the rate base in Newry, that's going to have a benefit for the District Red Cross. We're talking about hotel development. We're talking about office space accommodation. We're talking about decentralisation of jobs from East Belfast. And maybe Patrick's been talking to Naomi Long, the leader, in regards maybe she wants to keep the jobs up in East Belfast. But it's a commitment from Sinn Féin that we do decentralise jobs out of Belfast and into other areas. So the investment in our district will be massive coming out of this. We're talking about the hotel, we're talking about office space, we're talking about development of that area around where we're talking about the arts or the theatre. You know, that'll be a massive investment for Newry. It'll be a game changer for Newry. But we're also talking about transportation, connectivity, getting people about this city in a new way and a green way, and public transport and cycling and walking and having public realm, you know, and greening the Newry city. You know, these are all the issues that are in jeopardy if we endanger this project moving forward. And we can't ride two horses. We either go with a planning application or we don't moving forward. So as I say, I'm finishing, Chair. Thank you for your indulgence. Moving forward, you know, there will be a consultation through the planning process. And just to say, in regards to talking about consultation, and Patrick Brown talked about it, I was at a number of consultations in Newry in the Art Centre, and I never seen Patrick Brown at one of them. I never seen the proposer at one of them either, of the motion. And I'm not even from Newry, and I was at the meetings, and many of my colleagues were at the meetings. So it's a bit rich of them to come in now and talk about consultations when they weren't there. They weren't at the consultations. And in regards to the proposal of the motion, I've never heard them speak in regards to Newry city regeneration or opposing the civic centre. Never in my life have I heard them speak about it. So I'll just leave it there.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. I was going to stop you there, so it was Councillor Taylor, you're next, and then I'm going to bring in the officers to respond to questions. Councillor Taylor, you're not a member, so I'm being
Charlie, I understand you've been generous, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak on this issue tonight. Listen, I'm not going to pretend I had a few concerns about the original motion. I just thought it was maybe a bit blunt, and it's something that I'm conscious that we have been working all hard on in terms of money invested in terms of this project, and it's something that I've been committed to over the period of time that it has been suggested, certainly in my time at council. The reality is we do face difficult challenges ahead, and we have, you know, said that we will be looking at our ability to deliver projects over this time. And I think, you know, in doing that, we have to, you know, give every project, you know, that same respect and same scrutiny. It would be unfair to not do that. And I've had a discussion with my colleagues over the break there, just so we didn't see the amendment before this, you know, before this meeting tonight, and we took the opportunity to have a look at that. And certainly, you know, I can't vote on this, but certainly my colleagues do feel that they can support the amendment, that it gives a bit of the council, you know, as a group, as a body, a bit more time to look at the consultant's report, for instance, and what's included in that. And it gives us, you know, a further opportunity for more scrutiny, you know, moving forward. I want to see the project delivered. I'm not sure it can be delivered in the time frame that it's that probably has been outlined previously, given the issues that we have, you know, as a corporate body financially, given the challenges caused by COVID-19. And I also understand some of the issues that have been raised, you know, about the fact that you just can't do nothing. You know, that can't be expected either, because we have to, you know, serve as economic generators as well. You know, I have my own family involved in the, you know, in the construction industry, and certainly they see these type of projects as a benefit. And you know, I certainly see the benefit of it, but I just think the you know, going by the discussions that I've had with colleagues, the amendment gives that bit of room, and it's not indefinite. You know, it's given an indicative time frame as to when we can, you know, work towards. So, you know, on that basis, you know, our party will support the amendment that's been proposed tonight.
Okay, thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. If I can bring back in the officers in relation to the questions, primarily from Councillor Brown, if we have a response to those questions, please.
Councillor Sharvin, if I could come in first, and then I'll probably bring Doreen in, and then Connor, if that's okay.
Yeah,
the first thing I would like to clarify for members is that we do put papers to motions and notice the motions, and Councillor Brown included will know that from previous committees. I only picked it up yesterday that there was no papers with a notice of the motion at the ERT committee. That was an oversight on my part and on the director's part. I do apologise for that. But you will find that there are notices of motion and papers attached to them. Council officers are tasked with giving councillors clear recommendations to council. There's no democratic deficit. It's for the council to make a decision based on our recommendations. You can choose as a council official or as council member to accept our recommendations or not to accept our recommendations. It's important to highlight, and we haven't moved to the Appendix 3 of this, and I don't think it's possibly necessary, but it's important to highlight there are financial implications to any decision as the original notice of motion stood. What I would also say to members is that Connor will address the stakeholder engagement, but I would like to just say as well, there has been extensive public engagement on this, and people refer to what Newry want. I think it's really important to highlight that there was an extensive piece of consultation carried out when the Newry City Centre Master Plan was developed a number of years ago with DFC, and that was a major piece of work. The Civic Centre is a business decision as well for council. The location of it will be dealt with through the and has been dealt with from a business perspective and through public engagement, and will indeed again be dealt with through the planning approval process, where there will be consultation on that as well. So I suppose the other thing I would say as well is that I think it's really important to highlight the recommendations of the officers tonight is based on and doesn't give the full depth of the procedural details that we go through for governance arrangements. So it's very much based on saying we continue on doing that work that we've been doing with the consultants as appointed. We take it through to the point of getting to a point where we might say where we would come back to council to look at whether we could afford to go to tender or whether we go to planning permission. And that those processes and stages will happen throughout the process, and that would be very natural. I also want to put it in record, because I think it's really important I put it in record. If anybody thinks that myself as the chief executive of this organisation has not given thought to the financial implications of any project, no matter what that project may be in the situation that we're in COVID, then they're wrong. As the chief financial officer for this organisation, if this had come before us tonight to recommend that we go ahead to proceed to appoint a contractor at a cost of possibly £10 million, I wouldn't be recommending it to council myself, because we need to ensure the financial stability and viability of this council. What we're asking is we continue, as with every other capital project, to get them shovel ready. We have major decisions as a council to make in relation to our financial decisions moving forward. So this tonight is not about making a decision to definitely go ahead with the Civic Centre. It's simply saying let's continue the process that we had been in with council, that had been through extensive meetings and extensive engagement, extensive discussions with councillors, and had approvals, and as officers were implementing those decisions. As I say, it's fully within the council's right to make the decisions to stop the project in totality. We've given you the financial understanding behind that. We're suggesting that we take it to the point that we've committed investment to this point, which is getting it to the point of getting ready for planning permission and tender, and then we give due consideration to the financial commitment at that point. And I wouldn't recommend anything more than that at this point as an officer or the chief financial officer for the organisation. I'm going to bring Doreen in as well. I think, Doreen, you wanted to add something possibly, do you?
Yeah, I think you, Marie, you've summarised it. Maybe just to give a bit of more detail just to the question that Councillor Brown asked in terms of notices of motion and attachment papers to it, because it's not that long ago. In fact, it was June meeting of this committee, FPNR, where Councillor Byrne brought a notice of motion around dying to work, and Councillor Brown was in attendance at that committee. An officer's report was attached. The report did not exactly mirror the recommendations that Councillor Byrne put forward and pointed out the reasons that it didn't. And if I recall correctly, Councillor Byrne then amended his own motion to reflect that after due consideration of the officer's report. So what has been presented to the committee tonight is not dissimilar. I'm reading out loud here because I got the exact same media inquiry earlier, so I've got that response prepared in advance. I think my words at an EWG committee were quoted earlier. Whilst it's not a minuted meeting, I think you got the essence of my words correctly, because I do concur wholeheartedly with the Chief Executive. The role of councillors is as decision makers, the role of officers is to advise, and I'm very, very clear on that. Thank you.
Okay. And then Connor then, Marie?
Yeah, Connor, on the stakeholder engagement, yeah. Connor, just...
Yes, as Marie has quite rightly reported, there has been extensive stakeholder engagement throughout this project, and I'm happy to produce a schedule of the stakeholder engagement that's taken place and share that with members for their information, so I'm happy to take that away as an action. I'll, with regards to the notice of motion, I will, following on from Marie's explanation, total oversight on my part, and I put my hand up to that, and I apologise to the members for that, but for going forward from now, there will be reports from officers appended to notices of motions at the ERT committee. So that's all for now.
Okay. Thank you very much, Connor. There's nothing else you had, Marie, no?
Sorry, apologies, Chair. I don't think so, no. I think it is, I suppose, just the point that I don't think the waters should be muddied in the governance process of council that we have. You know, we will take this through the various committees and project boards to the point of where the council will make a decision as to whether to continue with that investment. That's right and proper. Tonight, I don't believe, unless council want to stop the process that we're doing now, which is a different financial decision, I don't think that's the debate tonight. I think that's not really on the table at this point.
Okay. Thank you very much, Marie. I did say that after that we would go to a vote on the amendment. I do see some other councillors have raised a queue for questions, and I see on the officer's report, I see a comment, please, and a queue. Can I ask if any of those councillors, if it is on the amendment as has already been highlighted, that your questions are? Or if it is not, can we move to vote on the amendment that's been accepted by the original proposer? So that's Councillor Stokes, you're saying a question on officer's report. As that's not on the amendment at the moment.
I'm happy to if you want to progress, Chair, I'm conscious. Yeah, if you want to progress, I'm probably going to hold off on that.
All right, thank you, Councillor Stokes. Councillor McAteer, you're asking for a comment. Is that on the amendment?
Yeah, it is. And the reason just that I wanted to, and thanks for, I'm not a member of the committee, but I did feel that our Crodleave area runs adjacent to Newry, and Newry is very important to the people of my area as much as the people in the Newry city area. But my comment really was that Newry needs, and will need now more than ever, you know, a publicly led boost of inward investment. I attended a local development plan meeting on Tuesday, and the Lower Hill Street area and John Mitchell Place area was cited specifically as needing a massive transformation. At this moment in Newry, you know, it really, and it was cited again, very disjointed city, an absolute planning mess, I suppose, at the moment is probably being kind to it. There's no defined centre of trade, and I am very surprised that some Newry people actually turning down the potential of inward investment at a minimal cost to this council. And there is a real prospect of even more executive funding as this COVID-19 situation rolls out and the new reality set in terms of where people will be working. So I felt that I needed to say this, and we should be grasping at every opportunity to improve the centre of Newry, without, of course, any slight on, you know, the parks plans that we have again, which actually run slightly at a different, on a different funding trend as this one does, you know. But so I thought it important to make that, and thank you, Chair, for allowing me to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McTeer. Councillor Byrne, you have a queue. Is it on the amendment?
Yeah, I'll leave it. I'm not going to repeat a number of things that were said, but I want to have a brief comment on the amendment, because I suppose some of the conversation that came after the amendment was in terms of slowing up and cutting projects and knee-jerk reactions. And I mean, it's everything but that. It is not slowing up one day. It is not cutting anything, and it's not a knee-jerk reaction. It's actually the quite opposite. It's saying, let us all engage in this at this stage, at the stage that we're ready to have concept drawings that are extensively reported through the project board, may I add, to bring back to the committee and say, listen, this is where we are now. It'll be a month further down the line. We've got our financial position slightly clearer. We understand what our grant position is from central government. We understand that other people want to see investment in their respective DEAs and so forth. But we're going to have more information. It's about making informed decisions, and it's certainly not about making a decision one way or the other. The motion as it was tabled before the committee would have done that. And I'm glad that we're amending the motion, has been accepted by a broad view of people there, that we will go ahead with the amendment to bring it back, to take that information, and let's have the debate. But I do have to say, going forward, I mean, this is not a zero-sum game. This is not a game of projects against each other. Each project should be measured in the own merits of that project, and we should be big enough and bold enough to stand up on the facts and the information and the merits of the project. We should not mudsling. We should not drag officers in through for our own media games. I think it's deplorable to do so. And some of the comments tonight that throw accusations at officers are certainly something that I would not only distance myself from, but actually challenge. I think, you know, the project board minutes have extensively been brought back through SBNR. I sit in it, I chair it this year on the regeneration project. I sit on the City Deal panel. I'm well aware of all the detail behind this. There are things that people will disagree on in across parties, across this council, and that's fair enough. Disagreement is healthy. But what we cannot have is when we're coming to motions which seem to get people to come out and fly flags left, right and centre, and have zero input into any single minutes that have been tabled from the project board. I find that unacceptable. So all these discussions from the project board have been tabled at the last SBNR. It is not right to state that this was dragged on, as Councillor Brennan stated, that it was dragged on for 2 months because it was proposed in the end of June or start of July. It was tabled. We asked for the revisit of the capital programme on the 10th of June before this motion was tabled in July. Why did we ask for the revisit of the capital programme? Because we understand this environment that we are in, and we want to make sure that all decisions that we are making are made for the right reasons and fully informed. It does not give our position on any decision. We've done it 2 weeks before this motion was tabled. The reason why the motion wasn't heard until now is because it's the first committee since the motion was tabled. There are no committees sitting in July. So I think we've went through the right processes. I also do want to back up the pint, because my name was taken in on the pint, and I think it's important that we back it up. I did bring a motion to previous council, and it was brought at the last SBNR committee with papers. I am well aware of how motions are tabled at committees. I'm well aware that if it's council business, it is up to that committee to give a backdrop of the motion, to inform and to give their recommendation. And I'm also aware that we don't have to take their recommendation. So, I mean, the vilification needs to stop, and we need to look at what the facts are in front of us. Have these discussions through the efficiencies working group. Have these discussions when the project board is minute and brought in front of us. And when we don't have the media presence around the discussion now, let's be responsible. So I'm glad that the amendment has been accepted. We are not slowing down. We're not cutting back. We're pausing at an earlier point to say, right now, what do we do to go forward? And we're going to have this discussion again. And I would ask all members, when we get to that point to have this discussion, to decide whether we go forward, we stop, we shelve, or whatever, that we do it based on the information, and we don't do it based on likes and social media posts. So thanks very much.
Okay. Councillor Brown, you have been in before, but you are asking for a question on the amendment. You're going to be the last person. I'm going to take a question on the amendment, and then I'm going to put the amendment to a vote, and then at that point we'll know the outcome. So, Councillor Brown, you're the very last, and keep it to the amendment, please.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. I'm just going to respond to some of the things that have been raised in relation to the amendment and the discussion there. I suppose if raising my concerns about the democratic process, the council makes me deplorable, then sign me up. I'm a proud deplorable. I think it's very sad that the SDLP leader yet again has to use the media lines argument to try and shut me.
Sorry, Councillor Brown.
To the Strategic Projects Working Group, because him and his party voted me off it at the start of this council term, but I digress. My question is more focused on the Chief Executive's comments on how we move forward following this motion. I think it's important to seek clarity around the outworkings of this amendment. So I think that the Chief Executive was saying if we were to vote to stop the project, obviously all work would cease. If we vote to accept this amendment, I just want to seek clarity as to what work specifically related to the regeneration project that will continue despite the amendment passing, because obviously the amendment relates specifically to the tender and the planning process. So I want to get clarification for the sake of this committee as to what further spending and resource will be spent on the project until that consultation comes forward to us. I just clarify again in terms of motions. I've only had one motion, and I've brought quite a few in the past that have gone to committee. I've only ever had one motion that had a officer's report attached to it. It was one on glyphosate to the neighbourhood services. And the director of that committee actually came to me beforehand and said, I'm going to do a report on this, Paddy. Give me, you know, it'll be 2 months probably before it comes to committee. And I was grand with that because he actually consulted. I don't believe that Councillor Malone has been consulted at all on the report that was coming to his. That's right. Done.
Thank you very much, Councillor Brown. I'll take the question around to the Chief Executive of what does the amended motion mean, as Councillor Brown has asked, and then I'm putting it to a vote.
Yeah. So, Chair, I'm just reading the amendment myself again here.
Yes.
Apologies. Basically, what we will continue to do is the work that has been appointed by the consultants. Now, possibly, I couldn't have the detail all here, but the work that we need to do to bring through the OBC to for consideration to council, and it will also look at any further stages of design work that might be involved. Any suspension, and this I think is important to highlight, any suspension or stop to that work at this point will incur costs with the consultants, and if that was to be considered, that's something we would have to do in committee. So it would be, so we would just continue, I think, looking at that notice of motion amendment, and I'm just trying to decipher it myself, and I keep turning one screen off on the other. It would be that we would just continue doing the work to bring back as per the programme of work that was set out in the, I think, in the attached part of the report.
Okay. All right. Okay, folks, I'm going to move this to a vote. Councillor Savage, I see you've put a queue in, but I am putting it to a vote. As I said, Councillor Brown was the last one I was taking in, so I am moving it to a vote. So this is a vote on the accepted amendment, which has been accepted. Do we need to read it out again, or is everyone content with the amended?
Everyone has received it by email, Chair.
Okay, so if everyone can indicate through the instant messaging if they are for or against the amended.
And only those members of the committee.
Yeah. So, Councillor Andrews, we will not be reading it again. It'll be in your email.
Have you voted as chair, Councillor?
I have, yeah. I have.
I'll let Sarah run this one. Sarah, can you see?
Yep, I'm just tallying them up. I have 9-4,
6 against.
6 against, yeah.
Okay, so that amendment has passed. Under standing orders, I can take a further amendment to that now substantial motion, as standing orders Gibbs, is there any further comments that members have?
Chair, the understanding order is 19.152.
Yep.
If an amendment is not carried, other amendments to the original motion may be moved. If the amendment is carried, the motion as amended takes place of the original motion and becomes the substantive motion to which any further amendments are moved. Hopefully that made sense to you.
Yeah,
so this amendment has been carried.
They want to put a stronger motion in, I think.
So this amendment's carried and no further discussion then, Marie, is that the guidance? Yeah,
it's carried.
The amendment is carried, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that has passed then?
9-4-6 against that.
Yep. Okay, folks, we'll move on then on to item number 5, which is the consultation on the code of conduct for local government employees. And that's yourself, Katrina.
Thank you, Chairman. Members, you'll see from the paper that the Local Government Staff Commission is undertaking a consultation on the revised Code of Conduct, and included with the paper before you tonight is the updated draft Code of Conduct together with the schedule of amendments, and I've also enclosed the proposed Newry Morne and Down District Council consultation response, and that is provided then at Appendix 3. The response, the consultation response, Chairman and members, is recommended for approval by the committee.
Thank you very much, Katrina. Councillor Enright, do you have a question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a considerable disparity between the Code of Conduct for councillors and the Code of Conduct for staff. I personally don't feel I've had enough time to read through this properly, and I'd also like some direction from the National Association of Councillors and other councillor bodies, because I know there was strong opinion from councillor representative bodies as to how the two codes of conduct ought to be brought more into balance. So I think we need a bit more thought on this and to seek consultation as councillors with our representative bodies before passing this on the nod. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to take all members in, Katrina, if that's okay, and any questions respond to. So, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And we had our code of conduct training for councillors last week, and I understand some of the issues that we have with it and how it simply doesn't work and allow us to do the job because, I mean, some of it's so contradictory, it's ridiculous. So I enjoyed reading through this document where we're talking with the employees, but there are a few things that sort of irk me a wee bit. And, I mean, on page 10, or page 11, sorry, we're talking about the close personal familiarity between employees and individual councillors and talking about it in language that it can damage relationships or embarrass other parties and whatever, and this must be and therefore should be avoided. I mean, how general that statement itself would scare any employee out of talk, and I go into the council chamber and I talk to people left, right and centre about, you know, at reception about what they're on the weekend and the whole lot. So, I mean, it should be clarified in this and we should be writing back in the consultation that, you know, talk about, you know, the politics or the workings of the council, or we are trying to get favour from certain people in the council, obviously must be avoided at all costs. But I mean, close personal familiarity and being friendly with council staff should be encouraged, because what I found since I came into the council 4.5 years ago is you go into council, the council thinking that it's us and them, it's us and on behalf of the public, and then it's the council office that you're there fighting. And it's not. We're working together in the interest of this district. So I think it's important that we have good working relationships. So I think the onus on that line and on question 11 needs to be clarified. And then also when you're talking about obviously relationships with contractors and planning applications and council grants, that's fair enough. And that starts on page 12. It's just these two issues on our list. It talks about all relationships that anybody has in the council with external contractors or anybody for planning consent or a grant must be made known to the appropriate manager. How on earth do you know? You know, there's grants that's even applied for, and unless you're in the programmes unit, you have no knowledge of it. So it should be clarified on that point. I know you're getting into the linguistics of it, but it's important that we stress at that point that in your department where you're directly responsible for something where you have that knowledge. You know, because I am afraid in my life of not writing something down on the register of interests in case you come across something where you've made a decision on something where that's a conflict of interest. So you're trying to be make sure that you've got absolutely everything down. Staff will be afraid of their life, either to speak to people or talk with grants or, you know, because everybody's related to everybody in this bloody list. So if we can clarify the wording around those two things, and also a council officer or a council employee cannot run to be a councillor, does that mean that a council employee would step out of the role before running for election? So they're no longer a council employee and then cannot regain the role should they not get elected. So it's either or. So you leave the council in order to run, and there's no halfway house. Thanks.
Okay. Councillor Savage?
The point I was going to make, Chair, has just been touched on by Councillor Byrne. I think we need clarity around item 4.3 in that, you know, we have to be realistic in that all forms of political persuasion are there for all to see and hear across the public sector. And I think that closing off the chance to represent the local community because you worked in the council when you potentially could bring something very positive to the table, I think is quite penalising. That said, we need clarity on it. As Pete has said, I believe that either people have to stand out or give up their job before they apply. That needs to be clarified. But I think it's a bit concerning that that's closing off that line of approach for people to take up public life. I think it's inhibitive, and I think we need to go and have a look at what the rules and regulations are within the rest of the civil service before we agree to that. But I think that needs clarified. I think the wording of it's a bit clumsy. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Andrews. You have indicated to talk. I will bring you in, even though you're not a member of the committee. So.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You're so kind. I do concur very much with the previous speakers, with Councillor Byrne and with Councillor Savage. And I think we need to look at that there. You know, I know my take on a personal basis from I come into council in 2011, I always believe that in relationships with staff and with councillor colleagues is very important. You know, it's important to build up trust and mutual respect with everybody right across the organisation. And I think that environment should still continue. Like, we all should know our P's and Q's and how to behave and whatever. And as I say, I do support the calls Councillor Byrne and Councillor Savage have alluded to. And listening to the code of conduct for councillors, I'll just be brief in this here. As a National Association NAC members, there's ongoing programme of work on that councillor's code of conduct, and to Councillor Enright and other councillors, there's a full members meeting next week that you can tune into, and it'll give councillors who are not on the executive an opportunity to have their say at the full members meeting. So that'll be next Wednesday. But thanks very much, Chair, for your indulgence.
Okay, thank you. Katrina, if you don't mind, come back to the members.
Yes, Chairman, thank you. I think in light of the points that have been raised, first of all, in relation to the points raised by Councillor Enright and Councillor Andrews and the Councillor's Code of Conduct, I think if there's further clarification or advice is needed there by the members, then it would make sense to defer the Council's response in any case, I think, until councillors are content regarding the aspects of that. In relation to the relationships then point, certainly we can revisit that in terms of the language to ensure that that positive aspect of that relationship is not missed. And then the point in relation to the standing as a councillor, whilst as an employee, that is actually currently the situation. That is how the legislation is written. The code of conduct has simply been updated to try and reflect what the legislation says because it was absent before.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
So given that there's questions around amending the response, we need a proposer and seconder to ensure that the positive light around those points are included. So do we take a proposer of Councillor Byrne and a seconder? Need a seconder? Councillor Savage to include at those points highlighted on page 11 in particular. And if you're content with that, Katrina.
Chairman, thank you. Yes, and I can bring the updated response back to the next committee meeting then, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. And is everyone in agreement with that? Yep. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Item number 16 is the domestic abuse and sexual violence policy, and that's yourself again, Katrina.
That's me again, Chairman. Yes, thank you. So, members will see at 1.2 of the report that the need for a domestic abuse and sexual violence policy and associated procedures has been identified. So the policy, which is then provided at Appendix 1 within this report, will actually support individuals who find themselves experiencing domestic violence and sexual abuse. And as such, the policy itself is recommended for adoption. Also, Chair, to point out that the policy itself has been through internal stakeholder engagement and is fully supported by both management of the council and the recognised trade unions. Thank you, Chairman.
Right, thank you, Katrina. Councillor Howell.
Thanks, Katrina. Thanks, Chair. I'm happy, if it's okay, just to make a comment, but I'm also happy to propose this policy and we'll be glad to see it adopted and implemented. Welcome the fact that there was a review on council safeguarding policies and into domestic violence and sexual violence. I want to thank again the officers for what was carried out. Over the course of about, say, in between 6 weeks, the end of March, start of May this year alone, there was an increase in calls made to the PSNI regarding domestic violence and sexual abuse. So it's vitally important, that we recognise that staff and employers or employees feel safe and supported if they're suffering from domestic violence. So happy to propose this and welcome the work that's been done. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Howell. Councillor Walker.
Sorry, thank you very much, Chairman. Also welcome the report, but there's just one thing I would like to say to the officer in relation to it. In it, it contains, if you have a complaint, your first point of contact should be your line manager. In that, is there any way we could maybe build something in there in relation to the first point of call? What I'm going to say here is some people might be fearful in going forward and reporting something. They might be holding something back because they're frightened. For example, it might be a lady something has happened to whose line manager is a male. It might be a male whose line manager maybe is, for example, a lady, and they're maybe fearful in going forward there in relation to it. That's no disrespect to the line managers. Is there any way we can build something in where they can take a third party with them, say, a family member, rather than going themselves? Now, some people might be fearful in going forward on their own, in that, for whatever reason, I don't know. I remember ones coming to me in the past, in the old council even, having grievances and having certain things, but they were fearful to go forward on their own, in that they said they'd have been happy enough to go with someone else. And I remember them asking, would I? I says, look, as a councillor, I can't go with you. So I can't. I'm an elected representative in that. But if there was maybe a family member of that able to go along with them, to give them a bit of reassurance in that, is there any way we could build that there into it? But everything else, happy enough with, long overdue.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to take in Councillor Byrne just next, Katrina, and then we'll go back. So, Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Again, great reading in this report, and I mean, how proactive the Council are being on this issue, ensuring all efforts, as you read down through it, that those that find themselves in the horrific position of going through domestic abuse at home, that the support services of the Council, whether it's paying into a different account or paying earlier or having a trusted friend, I mean, it's absolutely fantastic to read through. The support mechanisms are there, and it is key that there is the names and the numbers of the trusted colleagues. I think it's written on page 8 that they're in all public places throughout the council, but we are now working from home more, and the names and numbers and contacts of the trusted colleagues for people to speak to must be on the website as well, because as people are working from home, the incidence of domestic abuse heightens, you know, because people are working, their work environment is a home environment and there's added stress. So people must find, you know, in the home place that the comfort of supporting or contacting people via the website or even via an email address where they can't make a phone call in the house. And I'm also, I welcome page 13. I mean, my heart grew when I seen it. The support service has been adopted to respond to domestic abuse in same-sex relationships. I think it's really, really important that that is highlighted, because a lot of it, and is rightly outlined in the report, that a lot of it, where you take in levels of homophobia as well, and those in same-sex relationships are absolutely terrified of speaking out because of how they'll be treated by people in the workplace by saying it, because A, they might be out, or they might want their relationships out in the open. So I think in the trusted colleagues as well, if we can look at it, and I don't know the names and numbers of the trusted colleagues, and I know that's an employee issue, but that we have somebody for those same-sex couples or those in the LGBTQ community, that they can speak to a trusted colleague. Now, I know whether that's male-male or female-female relationship, a male-male, you know, might want to go and talk to a trusted colleague who's a male, and might feel bad for talking to somebody who's female, but would feel really comfortable talking to somebody from the LGBT community. So if there are people in the council, it's a vast organisation, please make sure that we have at least that outlet for those. But brilliant to read it on page 13. But so the proposal there is that the trusted colleagues would be, and their names and numbers is on the website or an email contact, as people are working from home still have access to that. But fair play to the report, and fully back it.
Okay. I would just say, Councillor Byrne, that can be an action. I take it that you want it as a proposal. It's an action, I suppose, that the council officers can take away to do that rather than a proposal. Katrina, if you don't mind, come back to Councillor Walker and Councillor Byrne's questions, please.
Certainly, Chairman. Thank you. First of all, I've dealt with Councillor Walker's point in relation to the line managers. You'll see within the policy the line manager arrangement is very much around the practical aspects of it in terms of requiring time off or support in relation to relocation, etc. The role of the trusted colleague that, that Councillor Byrne refers to on page 8, you'll see on that page it actually says that the trusted colleagues who will be trained, they will be available as the first point of contact for employees experiencing domestic abuse. So that deals with the circumstances whereby somebody may well have reservations about speaking to their line manager for whatever reason that is. So that trusted colleague avenue is also there. As a safeguarding team, we would also deal with inquiries from employees and help guide and signpost them. In relation to where the information is actually accessible, I think that's a really good point from Councillor Byrne. And just to provide reassurance that currently then we have a dedicated section on the website regarding safeguarding. And as recently as very, very shortly after lockdown, we launched a dedicated part of the council's e-learning system, which employees can access for information regarding safeguarding. So those portals are there as well to recognise that we're no longer in the physical environment. Chair, thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor Hanlon seconded and just wants to come in with a comment.
Yeah, I'll not delay my errand here. I just want to congratulate the council on Katrina on such a comprehensive policy. It really is really forward thinking, and we deserve to give ourselves a pat on the back, especially Councillor Harrell for bringing it forward in the first place. We attended quite a few projects laid out via the PCSP with regards to Women's Aid Men's Advisory Project, and I think we need to acknowledge, and I think that report does it, that it's not just women that experience domestic violence, that it can be male to male, parent to child, all manner, like teenagers. So, you know, I think this policy does allow, you know, employees to open up, that it might not necessarily be the employee themselves, it could be their sons or daughters or family members. So happy to second the paper. Thank you.
Okay. All right. It's been proposed by Councillor Howe, seconded by Councillor Hanlon. Everyone's in agreement? Yep. Okay. Perfect. Then moving on to item number 7, the domestic abuse safe space. And that's yourself again, Katrina.
Yes, again. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Members will see then from section 2.5 of the paper that we've just discussed at item 6 that the extension of the safe place arrangements will then support the Council's commitment to supporting and safeguarding anyone affected by domestic abuse. The recommendation at Section 3 of this report includes the designation of council facilities, and that's provided members at Appendix 2 to the report, which then those locations also take account of the rural needs assessment. So the arrangements that are contained within the report and the appendices are recommended for approval. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Katrina. Councillor Howe.
Again, I'm more than happy to propose this and thank the officers for the work that's been carried out. Not only is it important that we look after obviously the staff and employees of the council, but vitally important we support and look after our service users and those that be coming into our council buildings and council facilities, and I suppose that was where my aim was coming from at the very, very start. Need to just make sure, again, Katrina, as you've outlined, that we can sort of utilise as many of the available buildings to take on board the safe place stance and encourage as many staff as, if at all possible, to take part in the training, because that's vitally important as well to be offered that service. But again, happy to propose.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Byrne, you seconded?
Yeah, happy to second that.
Okay. Is everyone in agreement? Yep. Okay, perfect. Folks, the following items are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So I need a proposer and seconder to go into committee, please. Propose Councillor McGuinness for my
I have just invited the press back in.
Okay. There. Oh, probably away home.
No, there's still a couple waiting.
Oh, all right. Must have had their dinner.
Let's head back in now.
Okay, all right. So while in committee, the following items were considered. So for item 8, appendix 3 in relation to item 4, that was for Noton. Item 9, management accounts to the 31st of March 2020. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. Item 10, update on council finances. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. Item 11, management accounts to the 6th of June 2020. It was agreed to note the contents of the report. Item 12, the reopening of indoor leisure facilities plan, phase 2. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor McKee, seconded by Councillor Murphy, that members consider and agree the Phase 2 reopening proposal for indoor leisure as pre-below recommendations. One, that indoor leisure reopens with an estimated additional financial impact, as outlined in the officer's report. Two, swimming pools reopen on a restricted programme from the 17th of August 2020, with clubs and lane swimming provided from this date and recreational swim sessions from the 22nd August 2020. Three, sports halls and court bookings remain restricted to clubs and non-contact sports with a minimum 2 metre social distancing rule until the 7th of September 2020 and subject to guidance. Four, Newcastle Centre and Ballymote remain closed until further notice with the exception of key statutory bodies and childcare providers, and who will be granted restricted access subject to satisfactory COVID-19 compliance measures being in place. 5. St Coleman's track and 3G pitch remains open on restricted opening hours and commences with casual bookings for the athletic track in line and subject to guidance and best practice. 6. All sites close for the bank holiday on the 31st of August 2020. Item 13, reopening of community facilities. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, that members consider and agree the draft reopening procedures as detailed in Appendix 1, to consider and agree the draft community centre reopening plan as detailed in Appendix 2, to consider and agree to the proposed centre restrictions detailed in Section 2.2 and the budget implications in Section 4.1, to consider and agree to carrying out a consultation exercise with volunteers managing council-owned community centres in advance of reopening. Item 14, update on the disposal of surplus assets. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Murray, seconded by Councillor Doran, that members consider and agree the following. To note the content of this report and appendices A to D, to remove two assets from the surplus assets listing and retain for Council, namely the Jonesburgh playing field, Regina Park, Jonesburgh, former refuge site at Courtney Hill in Newry, to release two assets deemed surplus for open market sale, namely land at number 13 and number 15, the square, the steel structure Ballinahinch, former Kearns and Myrtle Yard, 60 Cecil Street, Newry, to permit an additional period of 6 months for submission of a developed business case from one party interested in securing a surplus asset, namely Kilkeel Town Hall, from KDA TDNI. During this period, assess the updated questionnaire from KDA. To permit an additional period of 6 months to one interested party to secure their internal business approval to enable them to proceed with the acquisition of surplus asset, namely former Newry Sports Centre from SRC. During this period, pursue the possibility of entering into a legal agreement between Newry Moore and Down District Council and SRC regarding maintenance and running costs. To consider business cases through the AHC from two parties interested in securing our surplus assets, former Household Recycling Centre Chapel Road, Newry, Murrhill from Mountaineering Ireland, and the Derry Lackey Newlands, Newry from Newry Rugby Club. To consider a business case through the ERT from an organisation interested in securing a surplus asset, namely McLennan Park, former PSNI land at Corey Square, Newry from Matt Darcy and Co Limited. Item 15, plan leave policy. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Byrne, seconded by Councillor Doran, that members approve the plan leave policy as included in Appendix 1 of the officer's report. Item 16, the Down Leisure Centre and Newry Leisure Centre update to SPNR committee. Agreed on the proposal of Councillor Sharvin, seconded by Councillor Hanlon, that members approve the recommendations outlined in the officer's report in relation to proceedings. And item 17, Efficiencies Working Group Action Sheet dated the 15th of the 6th, 23rd of the 6th, 27th of the 7th, and the 3rd of the 8th, is agreed to note the contents of the report. Thank you very much, everyone, for this very long meeting, but it was hopefully good. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and that's the end of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.